Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only. Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umeb. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine, while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. And now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umeb, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
Oh, hi there. Welcome to Leading Edge Medicine on this beautiful sunny day, almost the last day, the day before Dr. Dan Nelson's birthday.
The last day of what?
It's almost the last day of July. It's July 30th.
That's right.
And Dr. Dan Nelson, you have a birthday tomorrow.
I do.
Wonderful.
We won't mention any numbers.
Well, no, okay. What we will say is that your cellular age is younger than your chronological age. How about that?
And what Dr.
That's a mouthful.
What Dr. Umeb is saying is he looks
just
great
the way she
for his
said
age.
It, I feel, you know, at least 15 years younger.
I know. So. There any leap? Yes, absolutely. I don't even know his age, but I would say, yeah, he looks younger.
Can I get a recording of that?
Yes,
can play
you may.
Over
and over in your head.
Sure.
So. Yeah, Dr. Dan Nelson sitting in for Dr. Jerry Mixon, who is in Iceland.
Yes, the fearless leader.
Yes, hopefully not skiing on glaciers, but just enjoying them, hiking and seeing the sights.
Yeah, the helicopter jump on the glacier first.
He did that before. Yeah, it's like, no. Yeah. And then he went and saw Dr. Dan Nelson. So you haven't gotten any calls. Yeah. He's been there for 5 days.
If he's still listening, I'm plenty busy. Don't need extra work from you, Dr. Mixon. Please stay safe.
That's right. Well, we have a couple of calls that are waiting to get in today already. Cannot believe it. If you would like to get in, we are live in the studio. The phone number to get through today is 888-312-5757. Before we go to the phone lines, though, Dr. Mixon always likes to give kind of a medical update. What's going on with COVID? So, Dr. Umeb, let's dive into that for a few minutes.
Well, Dr. Nelson said, what's that?
Yes. He was kidding.
What is that? Yeah.
Well, the numbers are down, and that is such a big relief. Nationally, too, the numbers are going down. People who are getting infected are by and large getting the new variant, the BA5 variant. But those that have been immunized and vaccinated are getting fewer symptoms, and they're not lasting as long. So for most of the people, recovery is literally uneventful. And in some cases, people don't even know they have it. It's after the fact that they find out. But for those people that actually do have more severe symptoms, like a fever or not feeling quite well, know that there are a lot of antiviral therapies these days that can help reduce the duration, the severity of the symptoms, and so you can get back on your feet really quickly. I think the big thing that really surprised me was when I was reading an article recently and that said a lot of people don't know much about monkeypox. So monkeypox has been prevalent worldwide for a long time. It's just that the numbers were small and they were in Africa and other countries that were remote, and so we didn't know much about it. However, it has spread to the West and is more prevalent in more countries, and the numbers have increased from a few hundred to several thousand now. And that's why they've declared it a medical emergency, and then just recently New York declared it as an emergency over there, and I think San Francisco is not that far behind. The point being that it is spread in a certain group, gay community, bisexual men, and it is spread by skin contact or with exposure to the open lesions. And so if you are at risk, there is a vaccine. A lot of people don't know this. Because the disease has been present for a while, there are vaccines available. Now, yes, they are in short supply, but for people that are at high risk, they are available. So you do have to ask for the vaccine. So if you think you are at risk, there are two separate kinds of vaccines. The first one is the older vaccine that is available and has been stockpiled and does have some higher side effects, but the newer vaccine doesn't have those side effects. So please ask for the vaccine. If I remember correctly, it is a two vaccine process. So you get one and then you wait for a few weeks and then you go back and get the second vaccine. So I think it's important, given how quickly it is spreading, that people at risk go get vaccinated. Okay. But for those that are not at risk, this is not something that they should be worried about. But in the right community, there is a vaccine available. We do need to get ahead of it rather than be behind it. So please take care of yourselves and do get the vaccine if you need it.
All right. Very good. I like the little nice short updates, not the big long, you know, with all the scary numbers. And I think we're past that now, you know, the hospitalizations, the
The reality is that COVID will probably stay with us. Mm-hmm. And so we have to get used to it. It's a symbiotic virus. It's not trying to kill its host, but it is trying to figure out how to live with us because it wants to thrive too. Mm. And the issue is we don't want it to spread in epidemic proportions. You know, when people were dying before the vaccines came up, that was a huge issue, and we didn't know how to protect ourselves
right,
at that time.
Right, it was so new.
Now we know. We know more about it. We have the vaccine. We know who's at risk. We know that antiviral therapies can be initiated quickly to protect those people who do get the virus. So there is a lot more we can do about it, and we're just getting comfortable with it, knowing that some people are at a higher risk than others. So, you know, you have to kind of take charge of your own health over here a little bit. I think this week, Lynette, what I was worried about is the heat. As I was been talking
to
a lot of my older patients, many of them that don't have air conditioning, my concern has been, you know, stay indoors, stay cool and hydrate. And for older men, it's really hard to tell them to drink more water because then they have to go to the bathroom more often. And they try to avoid drinking water at night so they don't have to get up in the morning, in the middle of the night to go pee. So it's really difficult balance. But, you know, as I woke up this morning and it was so beautiful early in the morning, you know, the message is go out, do your outdoor activities earlier in the day or later in the day. Try not to go out if you can at all. If you're frail and older, stay indoors, but hydrate. And then for those of you that are young and enjoying the sunshine, I mean, I think we deserve it. We've been waiting for it for a while.
Yes. So
just be safe. Protect yourself. Protect your skin. Protect yourself. Hydrate well. Use your sunblock.
Yes.
And then one last thing for the women out there, you know, your hands will give your age away. So protect your face, but also don't forget the backs of your hands. You got to protect the back of your hands.
Especially when you're driving. You can get a lot of exposure there.
Yeah, you can.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, in Asia, women wear gloves when they're driving, right?
Oh, how classy. Not just for in the winter. You can put your gloves on. You need to invent those for here, Dr. Umat. Like, really classy, ultraviolet, fingerless gloves.
People think I'm crazy. Everybody, they're sun worshippers here.
Oh, that's true. Okay. All right. Well, this is Leading Edge Medicine. Dr. Samira Umat here. Dr. Dan Nelson from Pro Ortho to take your phone calls today. And we have a few phone calls ready to go. Let's head to Mount Vernon. We have Rob on the line. Hi there, Rob. Thank you so much for calling in.
Good morning, Rob.
Good morning. Hi. So if you guys listen to the radio and the TV, I'm sure you know the bombardment of Novage. You got to suck that crap out of your nose every day. So I'm wondering what your guys' opinion of that, I don't know, that device is.
It's, okay.
You know,
squirts it in one nose and drains it out.
Oh,
and
okay.
And then you revert.
Yeah, okay, the neti pot.
Another emergency call to Dr. Sunil.
Actually, if he's listening, call in. If you're listening, I should maybe text him. But, you know, I think they are using that more and more successfully in a lot of people that get a blockage. I mean, I don't know your particular case or why you were prescribed.
I don't have any case.
Or, you know.
I wash my face, blow my nose, and shower every day. I just, you know, they're just, it's a constant bombardment. On the advertising media that, you know, they're pushing this thing and they're saying you got to use it every day.
Well, I wouldn't use it every day.
No.
That's a simple answer from me. If there's a blockage or an infection or a reason or you're trying to put in.
It's not a drug, so it's, you know.
Pretty benign. It's just a saline solution, I believe.
And it's been around forever. Yes. So you might be getting bombarded on your phone or your social media
if you talk about it, right? I mean, it's on radio and TV. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? It's called the Navage, not the neti pot.
Seen it. Oh, yeah. No, and they got the diagram, the cartoon of it going in and, flushing things out.
I mean, they actually show real people. Well, I don't know. Maybe they're not showing real people. I can't remember. But anyways, just seems like, you know, I guess if you had a blockage or something, but they're talking about they more or less emphasize it seems like you're breathing in crud every day and you got to get that crud out of there.
All right, I put an SOS to the ENT.
There we go.
Yeah, I'd love to hear his intake.
When you're on call and
the pager goes off, and we used to carry pagers. Right.
Pagers back in the day. With fax machines waiting for that.
So when he calls in, we'll call.
We'll find out about that. Yeah.
Okay, and who is this that you're referring to?
Dr. Sunil Umat, ENT.
Yes, Dr. Umat's husband, who is an ear, nose, throat specialist.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
He's the guy. We're going to go straight to the nose guy and talk to him.
We have an eye guy. Okay. We have a nose guy.
And we have a pain guy.
Right. So he does come on the program then?
Yep. In fact, we got him. We got him right now on the line. So let's find out from Dr.
Let's hear what he has to say.
Yes, Dr. Umat. Rob's feeling barraged by lots of advertising from about Navage to do this
on a regular basis. Yeah.
What is your thought on that? And welcome to the show, by the way,
Dr.
Umat.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Sunil.
Yes.
Hey, good morning again. Yeah, thanks. I actually have seen this device and I'm a little bit ambivalent about it. I mean, I think it's kind of a bit of a marketing gimmick, you know, the idea of having a powered instrument push water into your nose on one side and come around the other side. It sounds great and is definitely a kind of the new sort of marketing ploy that these companies are trying. I mean, we still use the traditional sort of squeeze bottle saline rinse for most of my patients, where you bend forward and squeeze the bottle into your nose. And I have patients who use it daily, and it really helps their allergies. There's a couple of caveats with those devices. Number one, with regards to sort of the squeeze bottles, we recommend you do it gently, because if you push too hard, you end up pushing it into your ears or into your sinuses, the saline, and then it becomes really uncomfortable. As far as the Navage, you know, yeah, I haven't had a lot of patients that will use it consistently. They'll try it, and then some of them will return it. The big advantage for the Navage is it's kind of brainless. You put it up to your nose, and you hit a switch, and it flushes through and pulls out the other side. The disadvantage is that you don't have control over the process, unlike with the little squeeze bottles where you can do it at your pace, you're squeezing it, and you can regulate how much volume of water goes in.
Okay.
So that being said, the other problem I see with the Navage is that you have to clean it. You have to open it up, clean up the device, otherwise you'll end up with all kinds of nasty stuff in there. It's a lot easier to clean those little squeeze bottles. So I think the verdict is still out. I can tell you, you know, these companies pay a huge amount of money for advertising, and they've had a lot of sales.
Okay.
They've had a lot of sales, and they've probably done well with it as a device. I'm not saying it's not a good device, but the amount of money you pay for one of those, you probably would be better off to just get one of the gentle squeeze bottles and make up your own salt water.
There you go.
So,
into ears, what can you tell me about tinnitus?
Tinnitus.
People pronounce it. I've had
it for a long time,
and it changes in frequency, and it also changes in amplitude.
Sure. Yeah, we were actually, I called in last week on the radio. Mm-hmm. We had a patient and caller discuss tinnitus. And, you know, that's, again, a very common problem. A lot mm-hmm. of times it's related to hearing loss that you've got. And so the inner ear starts to send its own signal to the brain and you end up hearing it or perceive the sound. Do you have it in both ears or in just the one ear?
No, I'm pretty sure it's in stereo.
Both ears. Okay.
Yeah, the stereo kind is really the hardest one to treat, and often it's the one that we see the most commonly. It really is because you've been exposed to either noise over the years, either in work or
play. Yes.
And that creates this noise that creates sort of the damage to those little hair cells, and then once the hair cells are damaged, they start vibrating and sending their own signal to the brain, and that's what we perceive as an electrical sort of sound or tinnitus. Yeah, we talked about it last time. You have to really cut down on caffeine in your diet. That's the big one. And you can also really be careful about stress and trying to avoid any ongoing noise exposure, because an ongoing noise exposure is what really kind of makes it worse over time. Wear earplugs when you use the power tools and don't listen to music too loud.
Video games.
No, I'm very protective. I'm very protective of my hearing, and I don't listen to loud music. As a child growing up, we were into guns a lot, and obviously nobody wore hearing protection back then. Mm. I'm 68 years old now, so hearing protection wasn't something that was. And then, of course, being in the military too, and then going to rock concerts and. But how is it that,
that
the
could
caffeine
have done it.
Does the caffeine is that raising the blood pressure? What does caffeine's role play?
Caffeine is a stimulant, so it's like it stimulates your brain to do more things and get more active. It does the same thing to those little hair cells. It basically stimulates them to make more sound. So that's how the caffeine works.
Okay.
And you'll notice that if you drink a lot more coffee or tea one day, that the ringing tends to get louder. That may be one of the reasons it fluctuates. Or if you don't get enough sleep, if you're sleep deprived for a few days because you've been working late hours, that sort of thing, you know the ringing will get worse. Or if you're stressed. Those are things, anything that makes your brain kind of overactive or sort of become hyperactive, then that'll tend to make it louder.
Okay.
We talked last time about the fact that you can use this white noise that basically helps to drown out the sound, and the white noise masker, if you play that for 30 minutes once a day in your ears, typically at nighttime for 30 minutes, it really seems to make a difference to eventually train your ringing to get quieter.
There you go.
Okay. Thank you. Appreciate everything.
Hope that was helpful for you, Rob. We had a lot of different topics
Thanks
here.
Thanks for calling, Sunil. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Dr. Sunil.
All right.
We're going to go to break, and we'll be back with more Leading Edge Medicine in just a moment. Stay right there.
I started playing in the Puget Sound Senior Baseball League when I was 51, and I started pitching. And the guy who was my regular catcher for the 3 years before I started the program was catching me one day after I'd started on the program, and he came out about the third inning and he said, "Dude, I don't know what you're doing, but you've gained about 5 or 6 miles an hour in your fastball." And I didn't go into think about longevity at the time, but I just kind of knew that that was what was making the difference.
Boom, 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 boom.
Does she love me with all her heart? Should I worry when we're apart? It's a lover's question I'd like to know. Does she need me as she pretends?
And we're back. It's Leading Edge Medicine. I'm Lynette. Hi there. Welcome back to the show. We have Dr. Samira Umat in. Dr. Jerry Mixon is on vacation with his beautiful family. They are in Iceland. Maybe we'll get a phone call.
Yeah, you never know.
He'll check in with us. Let us know if he's been checking out all those waterfalls and skiing down glaciers.
Well, he sent some pictures. They look amazing.
Oh, okay. Yeah. We'll be checking those out. And we have Dr. Dan Nelson from Pro Ortho as our special guest host. Thank you, Dr. Dan Nelson.
Oh, great to be here.
Yes.
Been so fun.
Yes.
And just always look forward to it.
Yeah. Thank you for coming, Dan. It's so nice to have you.
Yes.
But you're not a pain at all.
Not a pain.
But you'll take all the pain questions.
The pain questions. If you've got neck pain,
sometimes
back
you have
pain.
To inflict some pain to relieve some pain.
Oh, boy. It takes pain to get pain-free, maybe. Okay. Let's talk to Gail in Ording. She has a question for you, Dr. Nelson. Hi there, Gail. Welcome to the show.
Well, thanks so much. And happy birthday, Dr. Nelson.
Oh, thank you.
Yes.
Okay, what happened is I tripped going down my hallway, and instead of going with the fall and just landing on the carpet, I fought it. And I just, my feet were, I don't know how fast my feet were moving, but my husband thought I was running. And I wasn't, I was just trying to get my balance. But
right.
I plowed into the door frame on my right shoulder, and it hurt so badly. And I went, and I was concerned, so I had x-rays, and nothing was broken. And for the few days, I could put up with the pain. It seemed to be getting better. But Wednesday, I woke, I couldn't sleep at night because the pain was getting so intense. And then during the day, it lets up a bit. And then Thursday night and Friday night, I couldn't sleep hardly at all. It was so intense. And anyway, I was wondering, is it getting worse? Should I be getting an MRI or something to find out if there's more going on? And the pain is different. It isn't where I crashed into the door frame, which was the top of my shoulder, and that's sore and all black and blue and all those beautiful colors that happen. But it's down the front of my arm, and the pain radiates almost to my wrist. And I was wondering if it was like a nerve damage or something that I also did.
Yeah. Well, it certainly could be. I mean, you could have hit your nerve, or your what they call brachial plexus, as it leaves the spine and goes down the arm. You might have bruised the brachial plexus or one of the nerves, or even hit your, if you hit your biceps tendon area really bad, that can get super tender and inflamed. So kind of any numbness or tingling, or is it just pain?
It's just pain, and nothing touches it. No leaf doesn't touch it. Ice doesn't touch it.
How long ago was it?
A week ago Friday. So it was Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and Monday, Tuesday. I mean, I was putting up with the pain because I thought it was healing, but now the pain is getting so intense, and I can't believe it.
Is the range of motion in the shoulder affected at all? Are you able to move it around or not?
No, not at all. I can. I have full range, and it doesn't. It's just kind of weird. But when I with that pain, no matter how I move my shoulder, I can't get comfortable. The pain just stays. It's just really weird. So that's why I thought all those few days,
it sounds like nerves. Yeah, it could, for sure. It could be kind of a nerve. You might have bruised a nerve.
To the bone, because it's
in the bone,
deep.
Yeah.
Deep, but it's not my shoulder. It's that arm just below my shoulder. It's kind of weird.
Right, yeah. So the front part of your arm, kind of the biceps area, do you know where that is? That's kind of like the muscle. That area is tender all the way down to your hand, did you say?
No, it's not tender. It just is hurting.
Oh, pain. It's pain. Okay.
The only tender part is where I hit right on top, with that, where the bruising is.
Sure. So it definitely could be a bruised nerve. I mean, that wouldn't be unusual to have that, and that can be very vexing and troublesome. And sometimes sleeping at night, that's a problem. Usually, We'll try something like a little gabapentin at night, which really helps. Gabapentin is an anti-seizure medication, but we use a lot in pain medicine for nerve pain.
Yeah.
So gabapentin is useful.
Could you spell it, please?
Yeah, sure. It's G-A-B-A-P-E-N.
G-A-B-A.
Yeah, GABA, G-A-B-A.
Oh, GABA.
GABA, and then pentin, P-E-N. T-I-N.
But it's a prescription medication.
Right,
you'll have to have your doctor prescribe it for you. It's an alternative to non-steroidal anti-inflammatories and pain meds.
Yes.
It's non-addicting. People do feel a little stupor, low, you know, like loopy on it. It can cause you to feel more tired. But it does work very well for nerve pain. And then the dose is increased gradually. So you would have to see a doctor to get that medication. And they may not give it away.
Since it's not getting better, should I also have more tests, MRIs, or something? They mentioned that, you know, when I had the x-rays. But
No, that's always... I think that's a good idea if it continues. If it gets worse, we want. So if you came to, if you came to our office, we'd get we might have to repeat the x-rays. I'd certainly do a bedside ultrasound to see if you have an effusion or you could have a subdeltoid.
Rupture,
subdeltoid, subacromial bursitis going on. It's really hard to say. I mean, all that, unfortunately, anything, there's a lot of things it could be. Because, the trauma that you had there can certainly, it could be any number of things, and including some nerve issues.
This is the only pain relief you can think of that might help?
That's the one that comes to mind because it's very useful at nighttime for people. It's a non-opioid. Yeah. It's not addicting. It's sometimes I prescribe it just at nighttime because it's tolerated at nighttime, but it can make you a little dizzy and a little forgetful during the daytime. Mm. But I usually start out low dose, 100 milligrams at nighttime.
At night,
And it can be titrated up. In other words, it can be increased slowly over time. And just to get you through, before doing anything invasive, we'd probably want to recommend some physical therapy. It might be a little too hard right now if it's too painful, but at some point we gotta try some therapy and get things. But I'd be a little reluctant to even recommend that without getting somebody to see you, somebody who has some musculoskeletal expertise to kind of ferret out what's going on there, because we really need to know and your primary care person might be a good place to start with that.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I probably have to anyway for referrals, so
right.
Yes,
and you need referrals too, right? I'm sure.
We don't necessarily need referrals. Sometimes we get people that are often not necessary. But we always recommend it.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Thank you so much for your call, Gail.
Thank you, Gail. Good luck.
All right.
Thank you.
Dr. Dan Nelson from Pro Ortho and Dr. Samira Umat in the studio today, Leading Edge Medicine. We would love to take your calls, too. There is room right now on the phone. 888-312-5757. We'll be right back.
I think it's a wonderful thing. And it's not reacting after the problems. It's trying to prevent the problems from happening in the first place. And the thing I like the most about everything that I've learned is it all makes very logical and intuitive sense.
I'm going to sit right down and write myself a letter.
Papaya.
And make believe it came from you.
Papaya.
I'm gonna write words so, so sweet. They're gonna knock me off of my feet. A lot of kisses on the bottom. I'll be glad I got 'em.
Hi there and welcome back. It's Leading Edge Medicine. We would love to talk with you today. You've got some concerns about your health, a diagnosis, maybe something you've been going through. Perhaps you're a patient of longevity. Would love to hear from you today if you have any questions, or maybe you just want to tell us how you're feeling and how things are going. We have Dr. Samira Umat in the studio, Dr. Dan Nelson here from Pro Ortho as well. And here is the number. Phone lines are open for you right now at 888-312-5757. That's 888-312-5757. Okay, well, we're waiting to get with that next caller. Dr. Nelson, we have you here in the studio. Anything new going on, or something maybe new on the horizon that you want to share with us?
So many new things.
I bet.
We might talk about this tomorrow on my show, but recently implanted a little device into a gentleman with terrible shoulder pain that's multiple shoulder surgeries and, you know, just unrelenting. This gentleman finally reached Medicare age, so he qualified to have previous insurance. It might have been workman's comp, but didn't qualify. So this new company called NALU, N-A-L-U, peripheral nerve stimulation is their kind of their bailiwick. And I've been watching this technology. There's been some other companies that I haven't been thrilled with, and this one. So this guy informs us the other day that he was able to pressure wash his whole RV without any pain. And him, that was like a huge deal. You know, he's a retirement age, and they like apparently to go RVing. And so it's kind of a slick little device, very, very compact. And we do a trial first, a percutaneous trial, where we put a temporary one in. The patient tries, takes it for a test drive for like a week.
Oh, wow.
Comes back and then passed the test, had great pain relief, and then we ultimately went for a permanent implant. So it's a really slick little device. If you go to NALU, N-A-L-U, online, you can check them out. But that's kind of the new, kind of a shiny toy in the box.
Okay.
Are the indications for it, Dan?
Just any type of peripheral nerve issue, so pain related. We just implanted a gentleman with refractory bilateral knee pain that had tried everything and not a great candidate for knee replacement. And we also did the same for him, bilateral implants for superior genicular nerve is our target there.
Okay.
And he's still pretty new, so we that surgery was done like a week and a half, 2 weeks ago. But that's kind of exciting, too. He had an excellent trial, did great, great results. So we're really hopeful. Anyway, that's one little shiny object in the toolbox.
That sounds great.
Anything new that can help with pain patients is such a relief, because otherwise, you know, it's medications that have so many side effects.
Yes.
Right,
and that, too,
right.
Quality of life is impacted.
Absolutely.
So much with pain.
Yes.
So true.
Yeah.
Let's go to the phone lines. We have Mike calling in from Mount Vernon. Hi there, Mike. Thank you for your call. Good morning.
Good morning, Mike.
Good morning. Good morning.
How can we help?
Can you hear me?
Yes, we hear you.
Oh, good. I've got a shoulder problem ever since January, and I don't know what I did to it, but it's real painful.
Right.
And
right.
I'm waiting for it to heal, and it's getting atrophied, so I need to do something.
What kind of treatment have you had for it?
Well, I went to the doctor, and he got an X-ray, which, you know, there was no bone damage. But I don't know what I did, but I fear next is going to be a CAT scan and then an MRI. So, but I'm going in on Tuesday to ask him again. But I just relief.
Sure.
And so you don't remember hurting it or injuring it in any way. What you're saying is you just suddenly started having shoulder pain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I might have done. I picked up some, tipped up some picnic tables, and I might have done it then, but I don't remember having any, you know, problem then, no pain, but it just started hurting more and more, and I can lift my arm up with my other hand, but I can't raise it by itself.
Yeah. Okay. So that makes me think maybe you have a rotator cuff tear. So you can't raise your arm straight out from your body then, like going over your head?
No.
Okay.
Oh,
so
wow.
I kind of wonder if you have a rotator cuff tear going on there.
Hmm.
Would that be a tendon then?
Yep. The rotator cuff is kind of, you know, muscles coming out from your shoulder, from closer to your, around your body to your shoulder that helps move your upper arm around. And the rotator cuff is a series of tendons from, what, four different muscles?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And,
four.
Yeah. And usually it's a supraspinatus tendon is the one that usually gets often gets injured, but it can be one of the others as well. I can typically diagnose that with bedside ultrasound. We just take a look with the ultrasound, and often you can see a tear pretty clearly in this situation. And then with that, it just depends how big the tear is. If it's a small tear, therapy is usually what we recommend, physical therapy. If it's more problematic and persistent, this is where, like, the PRP injections can be very helpful. PRP is platelet-rich plasma that comes from your blood. Platelet-rich plasma has platelets in your blood are involved in blood clotting, but they also have, like, 9 different growth factors. So, This is something we provided for Dr. Michael Gilbert after he injured his shoulder falling while he was skiing over in, where was he, in Sun Valley, I think.
Oh, wow.
So it can kind of supercharge the healing process. Now, I don't know for sure if that's what's going on, and obviously we'd have to, you know, we'd have to see in person, or somebody would have to see, you know, somebody who's got some expertise in that area would have to, you know, make the diagnosis. It could be other things, too. It could be a labral tear. It could be, you know, the AC joint. It could be a biceps tendon. You know, there's different things.
Sure, but rotator cuff is probably more common,
probably,
right?
Just from what he's described, what you're describing.
Yeah.
I think that's more likely to be a that would be first on my list, that would, you know, we generate in our head something called a differential diagnosis.
Yeah.
That just means a list of likely suspects.
Yeah.
Okay, but the rotator cuff tear would be at the top of that list
right
now.
But you need a definitive,
right?
Diagnosis.
Well, the pain radiates down my bicep.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Down elbow, clear to my elbow. So
Not uncommon. Even with rotator cuff tear can cause referred pain down the biceps into the down to the elbow for sure. But it still could be other things too. So this is one where I think I know, but not, you know, I wouldn't bet the farm on that.
Yeah.
You wouldn't bet the farm, huh?
Wouldn't bet the farm. Do people say that?
And I don't think Dr. Nelson has a farm.
Yeah.
No. It's the first time I've heard it.
That's right.
I have some ancestors who did some farming, but that's about it. Yeah.
Mike, I hope that's helpful for you.
Yeah. Are you located in what
Bellevue.
Town are you located in?
Bellevue.
Beautiful Totem. Beautiful Totem Lake in Kirkland, actually.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So on the east side. So I'm with Pro Ortho. We're actually called Pro Alliance East Side Pain and Regenerative Medicine. But if you look up Pro Ortho, that's the best way to get a hold of us. I also have my website, danielnelsonmd.com, and there's all kinds of stuff in there about diagnosis, conditions that we treat, including shoulder pain, different options for treatment. So I'd encourage you to check that out, and if you want, so you can make an appointment, and we could figure it all out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. There's the music.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for calling, Mike. All right. We have more callers to get to, and this is Leading Edge Medicine. We'll take your call, too. We have Dr. Umat and Dr. Dan Nelson in the studio this morning, and our number to get through right now is 888-312-5757. Stay right there.
If you or someone you love is struggling with memory issues, find out about Longevity Memory. Call Longevity right now to schedule your memory consultation evaluation at 425-654-0258. That's 425-654-0258. Dr. Mixon will be right back.
I finally went and took that free test, and it didn't hurt. I went ahead and moved forward with genetic testing and inflammatory markers and stuff like that, so I'm encouraged to see what those results are. So how would this work for my father at 80 years old?
We're back. It's Leading Edge Medicine. Although I'd like to keep that one going a long time.
I know.
Time.
This
yeah.
is kind of more my
I love it. Yeah. yeah.
All right. A little ELO in the morning yeah. there with Electric Light Orchestra. Good morning. I'm Lynette. I know. I used to play that one way back when it wasn't classic rock. Okay. So we have Dr. Dan Nelson in the studio. Also Dr. Samiri Umat, and taking your phone calls today on Leading Edge. Here's the number to get through. 888-312-5757. And we have Matt on the line. Matt is calling from beautiful Paulsbo.
Oh, nice.
Hi there, Matt. Did I say Paulsbo correctly?
Yes, that's how you
say
it.
Oh, good.
Everybody asks. The spelling did change about 100 years ago, but that's how it's pronounced. So
there you
go. Thank you for taking my call. Appreciate that.
You bet.
Hope what you guys
can
are doing
we do?
Well.
Yeah,
yes.
Thanks for calling.
Well, great. Well, I'm 50, and I mountain bike a lot, so it's no problem for me. But I started getting this pain in my leg just 2 weeks ago. I went to Lake Chelan, and it was about 90, 92. And we mountain biked for 2 straight days on top of a mountain, and it was really hot. So I drank a lot of water. But when we were leaving, my legs started hurting from my shin to my – and it got really tender and red. And it wasn't a spider bite, but that's what people think. But my whole leg started getting sore. And I went to a check med place, and there's a very good gentleman there who said it was an infection. And he said they gave me some Cefalexin and antibiotic, okay. and take that and elevate it. And he said to put some hot compress on there, but the hot compress really hurt and aggravated it. And I took the medicine, it didn't quite go away. So I saw my neighbor was sitting there one day. He's older, and his front door was open, and his legs were elevated. And I was talking to him, and he was telling me about his legs pain. And I mentioned mine, and he said, "Oh no, what you have is you have a heat problem from the heat. That's what he has, the exact same things. It's from the heat, and his legs start hurting." So this pain is finally going away. My shin to my ankle is like rock hard. It's swollen, but it's getting harder and harder, and there's like a knot in the side. It's just very tender. So I just didn't know if it was probably an infection or is it heat, and am I going to get this for the rest of my life? Is it something I have to watch, stay out of the heat, elevate my legs, or any ideas there? It's very weird.
Yeah.
I mountain bike a lot. I've never had this problem, so.
So it was both, just one-sided, Matt, or?
One side, both? Right ankle.
Yeah.
My right leg.
I don't think it's a heat thing necessarily. I think you're probably pretty good mountain biker and straining pretty hard at times, I would think. Were you?
Yes.
When you were doing
this? It's pretty stressful.
Yeah.
We go up mountains, and it's a lot of strain, a lot of stress.
A lot of stress.
You're really tired.
I think you might have had something like, so initially you might have started out, you ever heard of shin splints?
Yeah.
Sounds like
That's
a shin splint situation.
Yeah.
If it gets really hard and kind of swollen, you almost worry about like a compartment syndrome, where the compartment syndrome, whereas there's almost like damage to the muscle, and the muscle starts swelling, and in some cases it can be almost like a medical emergency.
Yeah.
I don't think that is in your case, but maybe you had a mild compartment syndrome going on. Here's one situation where I'd call one of my sports medicine colleagues upstairs and say, "Hey, would you take a look at this?" But I think you probably had some form of either shin splints, maybe even a little mild compartment syndrome. A severe compartment syndrome is an emergency where they have to go in and do what they call a fasciotomy and relieve the pressure, or else the muscle is in danger of necrosing or dying.
So Dan,
but I don't think that's what we
Yeah, the okay. shin splints are just microtrauma, like
microtrauma,
fracture,
right,
microfractures.
Right, right.
Okay. Yeah, so does that cause the compartment syndrome?
I don't think shins that in particular, but, you know, some people can get, you know, with real exertion can get, you know, enough trauma to that muscle group that that muscle gets traumatized and starts swelling, but the fascia is the binding around the muscle, and there's no way for that pressure to be relieved. And if the pressure gets high enough, that it can actually damage the muscle. I think that's not, I don't know if that's what's going on or if you had a very mild form of that. I think it's more kind of like Dr. Umat said, a little micro trauma going on. My concern is it's really swollen and hard right now, you said?
It's finally starting to subside. It's still swollen, but it's, as it's getting, the swelling is going down, it's getting harder, and I got a couple knots. One knot in the side is tender, and that's where my neighbor thought it was. It might blister and burst. That's what he was concerned with. But it's going down. I don't think it's going to blister. But, you know, I know hikers get shin splints when they go down mountains. Yep. So I've heard of that. Yeah. So maybe it could be a shin splint. It hadn't even crossed my mind. I didn't know exactly what a shin splint was. I figured it was just on the shin. I didn't know it would take the whole.
Athletes are prone to shin splints. You know, runners, basketball players, they all, because it's just because of repetitive microtrauma. And so with you doing it repetitively and maybe the heat, the combination of like maybe a little bit dehydration or something just precipitated it for you.
Yeah. Hopefully it's just a one-off, you know, and that won't happen again. But, you know, I guess if you do go do that again, make sure you're well hydrated, you know.
Electrolytes.
Okay. Electrolytes. Yeah. Take some electrolytes like Gatorade or something like that. And maybe take a rest every hour or so, you know.
Yeah, continuously might just have been a little too much.
Right. Yeah, you probably might have overdone it.
Okay, well, I did overdo it. It was very hot that day, and it was very...
What
do I do now? Just let it take its course, elevate it, ice it, or ibuprofen or anything?
I think ibuprofen can help if it's for pain, for sure.
Okay.
And then, you know, icing it, heat compresses. I mean, at this point, it's probably whatever feels good. You know, if it doesn't start resolving though, pretty soon you need to have it looked at, in my opinion, just to make sure something else is not being missed. I mean, I think deep vein thrombosis is extremely unlikely. That, you know, that's the other thing that could happen is a blood clot in the, you know, but I just think that's unlikely with what you're describing. No pain in the back of the knee, correct?
Pain in the back of the knee.
I think it'll probably resolve on its own. But if it doesn't get better real quick.
It's starting to get better.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, I can't think of anything else. I think you just keep doing it. Maybe a little rest. Elevation might help some. But I think just giving it a tincture of time, as we say.
A tincture of time.
It's summertime. I live for this time of year, and I hate to sit around and let it go.
I know. It's summertime. You want to do fun stuff. I totally get that. We were talking about that earlier, you know?
Yeah. Oh, boy.
I have a kayak.
It's so hard.
I can kayak for a change.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
Use the arms instead of the legs.
It's a man after my own heart. My wife says I can't keep still for anything. You know, I got to be doing something.
Something else. That's right. Keep moving, keep moving. Movement is the key, though. Yeah, don't slow down. Okay. Slow down, but don't stop.
Exactly.
I'll try to slow it down a little bit, and then I'll get an electric assist bike. The motorized bikes are popular these days, so maybe I can look into
that. Oh, they're great, actually.
Just got one. I love it.
But like Dr. Nelson said, if it doesn't get better soon, I would have somebody take a look at it, maybe get some x-rays, okay?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for calling in. All right. And if you're wanting to know, we have a special guest in the studio. It's Dr. Dan Nelson from Pro Ortho. And you can give him a call not his personal cell phone, but someone was wanting the phone number. Here it is for you. It's 425-823-4000. Again, that's 425-823-4000 to get a hold of Dr. Dan Nelson and his team. Okay. We have Bob calling in from Puyallup. Good morning, Bob. Thank you for calling in.
Hi, Bob.
Yes, good morning. Yes, can you hear me?
Morning. Yes, we can hear you. How can we help, sir?
Okay. Yes, okay. Enjoy listening to you.
Thank you.
My situation is I'm a senior person, 75 years old, but I take pretty good care of myself, although a couple years ago I did have to face some prostate cancer, so I've been going through some treatments for that, and they had one of the treatments was to cut back my testosterone. And my since I've done that, I've had a real struggle with building any muscle.
Yeah.
Excuse me. And I didn't know, I don't know a lot about testosterone, but is that, are there other things that I can do to maybe help me with low testosterone to still maybe build some muscle? I know it's important to do resistance lifting, things like that, but I just maybe have to do a little more of it to, it's just a more of a challenge to build muscle.
Yeah, so there are two different questions you're asking. First and foremost is the prostate cancer and testosterone therapy post-prostate cancer. So the new thought is that a lot of times testosterone doesn't cause the cancer. And if in the rare case it does do, then you have to go through androgen ablation therapy, in which case they really lower your testosterone load quite dramatically. And I'm not getting the sense from listening to you that that is the case, because you're saying you lowered the dose. They didn't tell you to stop it.
Yes. I did have radiation therapy.
Okay.
And then they also had me do the lowering of the testosterone, but that was only for a period of time, and so I'm not doing that anymore.
So you have resumed your previous testosterone dose?
You're still off of it. Okay. I have stopped the procedure of lowering it, so I'm not doing anything for testosterone right now. But I haven't measured my testosterone, but it's just frustrating because I know I've heard on your program that the importance of muscle is a very beneficial thing to help with all parts of your body, and I want to do what I can to build more muscle.
Yeah.
I know that even the heart, I believe, is partly a muscle, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. You're absolutely right. And the issue of testosterone with prostate cancer is a little controversial. But if you don't have a clear-cut idea, then you should get some more information about it. I think we are coming to a hard stop at the hour. So hang on. Don't go away, Bob.
Yep. Stay right there, Bob.
I want to talk to you as soon as we come back from the break, okay?
All right. This is Leading Edge Medicine, and we're not done yet. Hour number two continues in just a few moments with Dr. Samira Umat and Dr. Dan Nelson. This is Leading Edge Medicine. Stay right there. We'll be right back, and we'll be continuing with Bob from Puyallup.